It was in 1945 that Pope Pius XII declared this day, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to be a universal feast in the Church. And at that time, he wrote these words: "We are certain to find in Mary's most loving heart the safe haven in the midst of the tempest that everywhere assails us." Now think about the times in which the Holy Father wrote these words. We are certain to find in Mary's most loving heart the safe haven in the midst of the tempest that everywhere assails us. 1945, the worst war in the history of the world was coming to a close. But at the same time, the rise of communism that would blanket Eastern Europe, enshrouding millions of people with its evil ideology, was spreading. What a timely and hope-filled statement that Pope Pius made, that following the day when we celebrate the most sacred heart of Jesus, the Holy Father realized for there to be continuity, the next day needed to be a special day to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. The tempest that everywhere assails us was not unique to the year 1945. Indeed, the Hail Holy Queen, which had been part of Catholic practice since the early 13th century, says the same things in the first stanza when we pray, "Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, hail our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor, banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this vale of tears. The tempest that everywhere assails us." And it's into this world of sorrow, which found such poignant expression in the year 1945, that this day became a day when we celebrate her Immaculate Heart. And what a beautiful gospel the Church has chosen for this day. For the one whose heart is immaculate was able to say to her son, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Here we see a dimension of Mary's heart that is so human. The anxiety experienced by us all when we've lost the one that is dearest to us. Much of our human suffering results from this kind of worry, uncertainty, that leads to wondering and pondering and perhaps even asking, "Jesus, why do you treat us this way?" But here's the thing I want you to recognize: how Our Lady then listens to the response of her son. "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And then Luke brings the text to a close by saying, Mary and Joseph didn't understand what Jesus was saying. But then, for the second time in this chapter, St. Luke tells us, right at the end of chapter 2, his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. I can imagine that Mary thought deeply about Jesus' answer to her while in the temple. What does this all mean? Mary's Immaculate Heart is a treasure trove. A treasure trove that indeed takes in the beautiful truths of Revelation. Indeed, at Vatican II in Lumen Gentium, this document, which speaks about the mission of the Church in the modern world, ends with three paragraphs on Our Lady. And in paragraph 53 are these beautiful words: "The Virgin Mary, who at the message of the angel received the word of God in her heart and in her body gave life to the world. She received the word in her heart and in her body and gave life to the world because she gave birth to life himself. Centuries earlier, St. Augustine, who died in the year 430, anticipated what the church would say in the 1960s when he wrote, "Mary conceived the word, to whom she gave birth according to the flesh, but first of all, in her heart, according to faith." Do you hear that? Jesus was born from Mary's flesh, but before he could be born in her flesh, he was born in her heart, according to faith. So this is how the Immaculate Heart of Mary can inspire us. That in our lives too, the word is to be born by faith. So that then by the way we live in our very flesh, we manifest the reality of Jesus. Mary invites you and me to learn to cultivate more and more a pondering heart. This was essential to Mary having an immaculate heart. So the tempest that everywhere assails us, be it the 13th century, be it 1945, or be it the year 2020, in a world like this, we can't avoid it. But what we can do is understand that as we look to Mary and we venerate in Mary her most pure and perfect love for God, we also then remember her motherly love for each one of us. And that, beloved friends, my dear brothers and sisters, those who are children of this most immaculate mother, we can learn to find a refuge in the midst of the difficulties we are facing, the tempest that everywhere assails us. And we can pray to her and ask her that, "Mary, prepare for us the safe way by which we soon will reach your Son as we pray. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O merciful, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary." Amen.